Guys, let's start with the elephant in the room that has been in this province when it comes to the Flames and the Oilers, because last night, Flames lose 4-3 in overtime to the LA Kings. Edmonton Oilers beat the New York Islanders 5-3, and in that 5-3 win, four goals from James Neal. He has six goals to start the season in his first three games. Now, my belief all along has been that I didn't think that a big bounce back was going to be in store for Neal if he stayed here in Calgary. So everything that I have been led to believe, everything that I have observed, I think that the Flames needed to trade and needed to move on from James Neal. However, if you're a Flames fan and you see a guy that you were very excited about coming to your team last year get traded to an arch rival and have six goals in his first three games, I can understand why you might be a little upset. Here's the thing that I know for sure, gents, and we'll maybe start us off. The one thing I know for sure is that the comparisons between Lucic and Neal are not going anywhere anytime soon.
No, and I think you were the one who had kind of first put it out there in terms of earlier in the show. I think you guys opened the show with a little bit of thoughts on this particular topic. And I believe, you know, you have to compare in Calgary what Neal did here to what Lucic does here. I don't think it really matters in this trade what Neal does in Edmonton. I think this bounce back season isn't overly surprising, knowing the personnel he's playing with, knowing that he is on the number one power play unit with two guys who had over 100 points last year in McDavid and Drysdale. Do I think he's going to have this pace where he's, you know, he's going to score 164 goals in 82 games? No, I do not. And I do think there's going to be some slumps for James Neal. I think the big positive, too, that, you know, maybe is forgotten in this, if you're an Oilers fan, is that four of these six goals for Neal so far are in the power play. And he never had that power play chance in Calgary. He was never given the role. And I think from that point forward, you know, again, maybe unfair to James Neal, but I think he turned sour, he turned bitter. He and the coach did not see eye to eye. He believed he deserved an opportunity with the top guys and really didn't earn it, so wasn't given it by the coaching staff. And I just don't think it was ever going to work here in Calgary. He got the fresh start that he needed, and good on him because he's succeeding right now.
He's in better shape. And if you talk to anyone surrounding James Neal, like inner circle or people that were training where he was, this was a dedicated guy this offseason, but I think a huge part of that was the understanding that it was likely he'd be elsewhere. I don't think this was a deal that came together very late. I think there was a lot of talk for a long time about this deal, and then once a signing bonus got paid, it came to fruition. I don't think that's a coincidence at all.
Nope.
And I think James Neal was training with the idea of potentially being able to play with Connor McDavid. I don't think this is a deal that snuck up on him. I would not be surprised if there were significant conversations, whether they're legal or not, that led him to believe this was going to be a possibility. Give him credit for getting into the shape where he could do this, because I don't think James Neal, last year's player, could do this on the Oilers in the exact same opportunity.
And I also don't think that Neal would have done the same thing if that trade wasn't going to happen. I don't
know. If he's coming back to Calgary, I don't know that he's viewing it as a bounce-back season
exactly
so much as here I go again. And to be fair, how in the world can you put James Neal on power play one in Calgary? You're not taking Monahan off, who scores 30 in his sleep every year. You're not taking Johnny Gaudreau off, your best playmaker. You're not taking a natural right shot guy on a breakout year, Elias Lindholm, off the top unit. And he's not better than Matthew Tkachuk at the net front. Is you going to go five forwards and play him on the point? No. Did he have chances to make waves on power play two? Yes. Did he take advantage of any of the opportunities he was granted last year? No. The only thing he really took advantage of was putting a pout on when things didn't go his way with the coach. And maybe the coach has to wear a bit of that too, but he didn't earn more than he got here, and the coach didn't grant him more than he earned.
The final thing that I'll say on this is that I know that it's really easy, good or bad, to compare Neal in Edmonton to Lucic in Calgary. I really think you have to look at it in more of a reverse way, in that I think you have to compare, from a Flames perspective, Lucic in Calgary to Neal in Calgary. And from an Oilers perspective, you've got to look at Neal in Edmonton and compare him to Lucic in Edmonton. What they're doing on their new teams, that almost, I don't want to say it's irrelevant because it's right there in front of you, but in terms of the actual impact the trade has made, is Lucic giving the Flames more than Neal gave them last year and likely would have given them this year? I think that it's very hard for the answer to that question to be no. to what extent, that might be the difference. And if Neil scores 25, 30 goals in Edmonton this year, which who knows, he's got six already, then I think that it's significantly more than what Lucic gave you last year with the Oilers. If Lucic fights a few times, provides that physical force, is intimidating and does all that type of stuff, but only finishes with four goals, well, then yeah, I think he brings you more than what Lucic brought you last year, but maybe not to the same extent that Neil brought to the Oilers than what Lucic had there last year. So that's really the way I'm looking at it right now.
Good luck getting fans to think about it that way.
I know.
It's not going to happen.
I agree that for a lot of people, but that's how I'm looking at it. And hey, it's not my job to convince you how to think. It's my job to tell you my opinion and see if you agree with it or not. And that's the way I look at it. And final thing I'll say, it is still just three games in. There's still 79 games for this to play out, good or bad. Could it get worse? Sure. Could it maybe not be quite as emphatic and lopsided when the season's all said and done? There's also a decent chance of that, too.
You want a little tidbit from two seasons ago when James Neal went to the Stanley Cup Final with the Vegas Golden Knights? You have to say yes, and then I give you the tidbit.
Yes, Ryan.
He scored six goals in the first four games there. Guess how many he finished with the Vegas Golden Knights that season?
15.
The 20 goal scorer?
6 plus 15, I meant.
He scored 25 goals.
Okay, so he finished with 19.
He had 19 more goals in the final, he missed a little bit of time as he did last year, in his final 67 games. So this isn't the first time he's done something similar to this. I'm not here to suggest that, he's not going to have a productive season. But if there's a one goal over 11 games coming up, that ain't going to shock me.
Yep.
We had a segment evaporate on us because Wildcard Wednesday got good today. But if you just go by all the leaders around the NHL in all the different categories, you'd say, go home, NHL, you're drunk. James Neal is not going to win the scoring title. James Neal is not going to shatter Gretzky's 92. James Neal has looked more comfortable in Edmonton and is off to a great start. But let's remember, he was on pace for over 100 goals four games in Vegas.
Our daily Calgary Flames roundtable, Will Nault, Ryan Pinder, Pat Steinberg, as we continue this afternoon. Guys, how much of a chance does Andrew Mangiapane have to stick on that line with Michael Backlund and Matthew Tkachuk? Will, do you see that being a long, long-term fit?
The clarification is, what do you mean by a chance? Because I think he's going to get the entire road trip.
Let me rephrase the question.
Okay.
How confident are you that Mangiapane sticks on that line long term?
I think fairly confident. I think he brings a lot of the same things that, people like about Sam Bennett's fit on that line. Although, all due respect to Bennett, he does them better than him right now in terms of his ability to get to those tough areas. And I think some of the things that he does, really complement that line very well. And I think because of the way he plays, because of his ability to be hard on the forecheck, hard on pucks, and get it to a guy like Matthew Tkachuk, I think he's got a great chance to be on that line. And you heard it from Bill Peters. It happened in back-to-back games. They bumped him up there and immediately saw success. So I think it's a great fit, and I think that Mangiapane has had some tough luck so far in his NHL career in terms of, I think some of those career point totals could be a bit higher. It's certainly been a bit of bad luck, and I think if he starts to produce, his confidence is only going to continue to grow, and yeah, I think he's got a great chance to stick on that line long term.
He's profiled as a guy that would end up here. Every level he's played at, he's gone to the top six. He's scored. The underlying numbers told us you could put him against other teams' best players. The eyeball test says he plays without the fear of most people his size, and all the small glimpses we've had along the way says this is a perfect fit. I think he is their best option to play on the 3M line, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's a better fit for a long while, for the rest of the year, and moving forward than even Michael Frolik, who, has his name on the original 3M outfit. This is exactly what you want it to happen if you're a Flames fan. A young player pushing out a veteran on an expiring contract and, frankly, doing the job better albeit in tiny samples so far.
The final thing that I'll say, because I agree with both of what you said, I think that he's a perfect fit. The thing that I think he complements the line the best that Mangiapane brings is his intelligence. He's just a really smart, heady, intelligent player. So he understands the game. He thinks it at a high level, and that's exactly what Tkachuk and Backlund bring to the conversation. Final thing I'll say, that's a home run of a pick. They got him in the sixth round.
Well, and if he's 2 inches taller, where does he get drafted? Like, the stats are all there. NHL, there's still massive market inefficiencies due to size. It's insane. How can a guy putting up the numbers he put up get drafted where he was?
In the Ontario Hockey League.
It's a bias against small hockey players, which looks ridiculous when you sift back through drafts now.
And yet, you get him in the
sixth
round.
Kucherov, Point.
Outstanding value. Gaudreau.
This guy, and I'm not suggesting he's going to be like the others, but there is absolutely a
bias
against smaller players.
You go back further than that, Pavelski, sure. And like some of the elite players in this league. I mean, Sure, Patrick Kane went number one overall, so there's an exception to the rule. But I would suggest that more often than not, what you're saying is accurate. More often than not, you see guys that probably should be given more of a look or more of a chance go way later.
No, I will say, I think it's changed in recent years. I mean,
I agree.
But 2019 draft, there was a lot of small guys drafted high. So,
but how many years could you have just gone to town on that market inefficiency?
Sure. Like,
maybe a full decade before other teams started to catch up.
Yep.
It's crazy.
No doubt about it. There you go. Will Nault, Ryan Pinder, Pat Steinberg. That's your daily Calgary Flames Roundtable.